As we think about where we're at today here at mid-year, a lot of things have changed compared to the first of the year. And as we walk through a presentation this morning, it's going to be quite a bit shorter than we typically give from a time restraint standpoint, but we're going to try to hit the highlights. We're going to try to hit the things that have changed compared to when we were with you last and talk about the ramifications for what that means as we go forward. Now, the thing that's on the forefront of everybody's mind has been the drought. And so we're going to spend quite a bit of time up front talking about the drought, how much of the country, how much of the cow herd it's affected, the driving factors there as far as higher grain values, what that means for cattle prices short term, as well as intermediate term, longer term. And also we think we need to recognize and look at the big picture and not be short-sighted as far as what that means for animal protein production in the United States over the next couple years and how that correlates with price levels as we think about 2013, 2014. But as we think about the short-term ramifications, we're all concerned, and we all think about where we're at from a drought standpoint. This is looking at the latest drought monitor, and as you can see, it's pretty red. It has shifted, and we'll look at that in a little more detail compared to last year where it was centered in the southern plains. Now it's broader spread, covering more of the country, and has moved over the last 60 days into the Corn Belt. And because of that, we've got the corn issue today versus a year ago. A year ago, corn values are a dollar a bushel less, and we're softening where we're going the opposite direction today. And as we think about the harvest levels of cows, the early movement of feeder cattle and calves, it all plays a major role as far as where the supply side of the market over the next 6 to 12 months goes, and therefore the price side of the market goes as we go forward. Trying to illustrate some of the differences between this year and last year, here's looking at a vegetation monitor. And you can see the red would suggest dry, the dark blue suggests wet. And as you look at it, last year we were centered in Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico. A year ago, we liquidated 1 million beef cows out of those three states. Now, this year, you can look at especially East Texas off on into the Gulf Coast, tremendous improvement compared to a year ago. And where the red now is centered is more in the central part of the U.S. and spreading both north, east, and west. So an illustration of where the concerns are today versus a year ago as we look at the vegetation. Now we put this together just to try to show how much or how high of a percentage of the beef cow herd is under stress as far as the region from a drought standpoint. And here we're looking at the categories from D1 to D4, and there's five categories of drought. This is looking at the four most severe categories. You can see that 70% of the beef cow herd today is in a region that's affected by drought, 70%. In those four top categories. This is looking back over the last 10 years, and really, other than 06, it stands out like a sore thumb. Contrast that to a year ago, where it was centered in the southern plains, and we'll look at that in more detail. This drought is affecting more people. It's affecting more cows. It's affecting more factors as we look at the market. Here's looking at the two most severe categories, D3 and D4, and you can see it's affecting about 27-28% of the beef cow herd, pretty much identical to a year ago. So as we look at this data set, it would suggest, as we start talking about harvest rates for cows, liquidation, and what our expectations are going down the road, we need to recognize that we're at this phase here. As we're well aware, we're starting to see cow slaughter pick up. Yearling movement, for the most part, has been from 2 to 4 weeks early, in some cases more than that. Calf movement starting already. We're seeing a lot of producers early wean calves, preg check the cows. The cows are going to town if they're open. We're trying to allocate our resources as we go through the end of this year on into next year from a roughage standpoint. Now, from a prospect, from a weather standpoint, our Douglas, our guy that does our weather, he talks about El Nino spreading and developing as we go through the rest of the year. He's fairly optimistic the southern third of the U.S. will continue to get wetter as we go forward. He thinks there's some relief as you go into central and the northern part of the country, but not dramatic and not probably soon enough to save especially the corn crop, and especially to save some of the pasture conditions as we think about it. So unfortunately, some relief if we're in the south. If we're in central and north, we probably are kind of stuck with what we've got as we go forward, at least as we think about the remainder of this growing season. This is looking at pasture and range conditions. This is a data set that the USDA puts out. It's been available since 1995. We just brought out and looked at some of the more droughty years as we think about it over the last 15 years and contrast that to where we're at this year. This year would be the dark line. You can see that we're at the most elevated level as far as pasture conditions that would rate in the two worst categories, poor and very poor. We're already at the worst level we've been over the last 15 years. So the prospects there as we think about our grazing, about the movement patterns, we've got to recognize that, you know, we look at it today in particular. If you looked at May placements, June placements, here in July, especially June and July, we're placing a lot more 8 and up weight cattle. Total placements are going to be down because we've got less total numbers to place as we think about it going forward, but we're going to bunch the yearling cattle in here June, July, August. Not going to have much of a fall yearling run. The calves, what do you do with a calf? Do you put them on feed with $8 corn? If you can help it, you're probably going to rat hole that calf. You're going to try to find some place to stretch that calf on into later this year or next year as you think about the placement pattern. So we are going to see some placement irregularities in here. We're going to place the yearlings early. The calf placements are going to be strung out, which would suggest as we go on to the first half of next year, we are going to have on-feed population that at some point is going to run well below a year ago. Now, if you think about the on-feed population today, it's up 3% in those feed yards, 1,000 head and up category. What are we seeing in the smaller feed yards, 1,000 head and under? They're substantially below a year ago. And also think about what we're feeding today as a percentage of on-feed numbers. We've got a higher percentage of calf-fed Holsteins. And then we are also feeding yearling-fed cattle longer to a heavier outweight. If you contrast all that data, it would suggest that even though our on-feed population is up 3% here the first of last month, our marketings and our harvest levels as we go through the remainder of the year are still going to be down 2, 3, 4%. And so we need to expect that pattern to continue. And with elevated corn values, the smaller farmer feeder, more than likely as we go on into 2013, is not going to feed as many cattle. He's going to be content to sell that corn and bypass the feeding operation. With that, let's talk about corn. And as we think about, this is looking at Omaha cash corn prices over the last decade. You can see this spike back in 2008. And think about 2008 because we're going to contrast that as we talk about supplies not only of beef and cattle, but also as we talk about pork and poultry, because I think it really does show some similarities of what we might expect to see over the next couple of years. And so you can see the band that we've been in over the last, especially year. You know, we've had a band from $6 at the bottom, $7.50 at the highs. You can read what we would expect for the foreseeable future. The market's trying to figure out, or the market's trying to build in, the worst case scenario. Each of the last couple months, when we get the reports, the last few weeks as you get the crop reports as far as how it's doing, it's deteriorating. It looks like the market is trying to build in roughly about a 5% stocks to use ratio, maybe a 4.5 to 5.5 in a range. You think about what we're doing from a rationing of usage just over the last few weeks. Ethanol production's down substantially. We were for quite some time exporting ethanol, now we're importing ethanol. Corn exports and sales out front of corn are down. We're starting to hear of some corn imports in the East Coast from Brazil. So you're already starting to see that usage of that piece of the pie being affected. Think about the pork and poultry producers out there. Typically, they're quicker to react than we are in the cattle industry because corn makes up a bigger percentage of their cost. And so don't be surprised if you don't start seeing data sets, and we are seeing it on the sow slaughter already, where that will increase your egg sets, chicks placed, some of that data will start to decline and will limit the usage or ration usage from the feed standpoint as well. So as we think about it moving forward over the next, in particular, couple of months, we think the market's going to find its highs sooner, not later. We think the bad news will get built in once the crop ratings stabilize at whatever level it is. And we've gone back and looked at other years. 1988 is probably the prime example. When that rating hits the bottom and stabilizes for 1, 2, 3 weeks, the market says, hey, we've got to build in. And so over the next few weeks, look for that as a sign as far as finding your highs. The data would suggest that if we're building in roughly a 5% stocks to use ratio, the top side of the corn market is somewhere around 8.25 to 8.5. And you've been close to that on your spot futures. So we're probably going to build that in on the top side. And as you go through the fall, go into harvest, get the crop in the bin, you'll probably get some relief. For reference, and what we're looking at for reference as we think about 2013, we've really spent a lot of time with corn values plus or minus 6.5, 6.75, if we want to base that off Omaha over the last 12 months. We don't think that's going to change a whole lot. We think that's probably elevated by a quarter to 50 cents as we go over the next 12 months. But that's the range that we're going to look at and project as we think about cattle prices as we go into 2013. What's happened over the last 2 months? This is just looking at a snapshot between the 1st of June and where we were last Friday, and just looking at the valuation, the red or the blue bar at the right-hand side is Omaha corn. This is how much more it's costing to feed a fed steer or heifer today if we use today's corn values versus the 1st of June. In other words, input costs because of corn have increased about $160 a head. So it's costing that much more for production on a head basis. Well, then we look at cattle values on the left. You can look at the far left, the dark blue. That's calf values have declined by $168 a head. Feeder values, $151. So that's pretty much a 1-to-1 ratio. And you would expect that. Input costs go up, the value of those cattle go down. Fed prices are down. We got to recognize that seasonal. We think we're setting at the low. In fact, we think we put the low in the cash market, Fed market last week. In fact, we're starting to see bids and some limited trade at higher levels this week compared to last. So that's good news. Utility cows, part of that seasonal, and part of that is because of the fact that we are bringing more cows to town. You've got more production because of the drought. So corn values, especially short term, do have a dramatic impact on cattle values. Think about it longer term as far as where we're at. 6 months ago, we would have suggested 2012 was a year where the beef herd would have stabilized. Frankly, we're kicking the can down the road at least 1, if not 2 years because of higher corn values and the drought. You know, drought alone is going to drive more cow liquidation than we would have envisioned. You can see that we were still expecting cow slaughter to be down year over year. We've got to remember that last year was the biggest we've had in 15 years. Year to date, beef cow slaughter is down 150,000 head. Dairy cow slaughter is up 50,000 head, so net we're down 100. Now, to get down 3 for the year when it's all said and done, it would take a reduction on beef cow slaughter of roughly 10% year-over-year change through the remainder of the year. And we've got to remember that a year ago was extremely elevated. So if we were going to fudge that, if the drought continues, you know, maybe we won't see quite as big of a decline on the cow slaughter year-over-year. But still, we need to recognize it's going to be a little bit lower this year than last. And if we've stair-stepped it down over the next couple of years again, that circled time frame in 04 and 05 is a reference point. That's the last time we saw expansion in the U.S., the beef cow herd. So if we're going to get back to an expansion size or from a cow slaughter standpoint, that's the size of drop we would envision over the next couple years. Mid-year inventory report came out last week, and just the things we want to highlight there are circled. Beef cow numbers down 3% year over year from July to July. But down at the bottom, I think we really need to recognize the difference there. The calf crop this year versus last, down about 800,000 head. Combination of just less cows, and you think about going through the stress that we went through last year with the drought, the stress that we're going through this year with the drought, conception rates. that's going to be a challenge as we think about it going from this year to next in a lot of the country. And the number right below that, feeder cattle and calf supplies outside of feedlots, down 1.2 million head this year versus last, down over 2 million head in the last few years combined. Again, if we're in the margin phase of our business, whether we're a stocker operator, feedlot operator, or if we're a packer, we need to recognize this really hits our bottom line because we've got less throughput, less cattle going through the system as we go forward over the next couple of years. Bottom line, as we think about the beef cow inventory, we would suggest when this year's all said and done, we'll be down about 500,000. For reference, last year we were down over 900,000. So again, liquidation, but at a slower pace. And you can see that we even think in 2013 going into 14, that's a time frame where the market, we still are in the camp, and we'll talk about that as we close up, about calf values remaining relatively high from a historical standpoint. Because of that, the incentive, when Mother Nature cooperates, that we will start to see some heifer retention. We'll start to see some expansion. But it's not this year. It's probably not next year. Next year's a year where you slow the liquidation pace, and over the next couple of years start to see some expansion as we go forward. The dairy industry, we need to recognize that it's an important part of beef production. If we think about fed beef and non-fed beef production from dairy breeds, they represent close to 18% of all beef produced in the U.S., so it's an important part of our business, and we need to recognize that. The dairy herd looks like it's going to be down about 50,000 this year. Again, low milk prices through the first part of the year with elevated feed cost. They've been in a loss position. Milk prices are responding upward as we speak, so hopefully that'll minimize some of the liquidation in that particular business, but for the year, we would have that down. Now, this is a game changer as well. We think about what's different between 6 months ago. Drought is number one. But as we start talking about, especially from a supply standpoint and a trend standpoint, the trade issues would be right up there as well. Because as we stood in front of you at convention, we would have suggested that exports were going to continue to be higher this year. We had it pegged up 10% in January. And we had imports up, but not nearly to the magnitude that we do today. We think about what's changed since the first of the year. And there's a number of things that have happened. The dollar has strengthened. You know, that affects the trade balance. 90% trim in the problems we've had there. FTB. Have we not had to source more lean trim? Where do we get more lean trim from? Imports. We've had record high in 90% lean prices throughout the year. That attracts more imports. And so what we've had is imports increasing through the first half of the year. They're up 22%. Exports are down 12%. And you can see our forecast for this year and what we're pegging in for next year as we go forward. The point I really want to make here, though, is you look at the difference between 2009 and 2011. Let's talk about that time frame where we went from a net beef importer to a net beef exporter. The difference between those 2 years was worth about 5 pounds per capita in the United States from a consumption standpoint. It was huge. You think about the difference between last year and this year, where we've gone from the opposite direction. That's 800 million pounds. You divide that by our population, it's about a 3% swing from a beef supply standpoint. And so here we are as we think about it going forward for this year in particular. Steer and heifer slaughter is down about 5% year to date. Weights, which we haven't talked about yet, are going to be record high. They're going to be up about 19 pounds for the year on cold carcass weights when it's all said and done. And so you're harvesting less cattle, but you're making up part of that difference in weights. And then the difference between this year and last year, as we take it down to per capita supplies, is that we're not exporting as much product and we're importing more product. And so this is a big change when we were with you last time, is we would have suggested that per capita beef supplies would have been down a pound to a pound and a half this year. And instead, when the year's all said and done, we think they're going to be up about a half a pound, a different trend for 1 year at least than we've seen. Now you can see our expectations over the next couple of years. I think we all recognize that if we are going to stop or slow the rate of liquidation, we'll have less cattle going through the system. We already said that this year's calf crop's down 800,000 head. So what would you expect harvest levels to be 1 and 2 years down the road? They're going to be lighter. And so production will be tighter as we think about it moving forward. And because of that, our per capita supplies and therefore price, as we think about beef and also live cattle prices, are supported because of tighter supplies. So I think we need to recognize the importance, and we talk about this from a per capita standpoint, that that trade issue really has as far as the supplies on the short-term market. Now we're going to incorporate pork and poultry, and it's basically on a per capita basis. We talked about beef. Now you think about the pork and poultry industry as it relates to high grain prices. What did they do in 2009 and 2010 after the high corn values in 08? It was a combination in that time frame of high input costs as well as recession, but they responded in 09 and 10 with tighter pork production, 09 with tighter broiler production. And so as you think about the trend over the next couple of years, more than likely we're going to produce less competitive beef meat to go with less beef. And so your total supply is going to be tighter. We would suggest that the export trend for all three proteins will continue to advance. And as you think about how much we export about 7 billion pounds of chicken, over 5 billion pounds of pork, and about 2.8 billion pounds of beef this past year. 15 billion pounds total. 15 billion pounds divided by 300 plus Americans, that's 45 to 50 pounds per capita that we're exporting. If we didn't, we'd have to consume on the domestic market. So that export number is huge as we think about the importance of our market. We're in the camp that exports will continue to grow for all three proteins, and that supplies or production will decline over the next couple of years because of added input cost, in particular the pork and poultry business. With that, you can see that we could easily take another 10 pounds per capita off the domestic market over the next couple of years. Is that friendly to price? Sure is, isn't it, guys? Very friendly to price. It's easy to sit here today in the midst of the drought, and I recognize if you're in that area and you're forced to be moving your cattle early, that it's pretty tough situation. But if we stand back and look at a longer view of our markets, I think we can be more optimistic about where we're going over the next few years. Here's some data that I think is very optimistic. Wholesale beef demand index the first half of the year, we would suggest it's higher. We need to recognize it's not a perfect measure of demand because you've got margin included in this, packer feeder margin, packer retail margin, that's all included. But if you think about the three components of demand, in the domestic front, you've got retail as well as food service, and the export front, if you broke those down, exports has been disappointing, we recognize that. At retail, demand looks like it's been fairly decent. We recognize that we have lost some market share from a advertising standpoint because of price, and we do see trade down from a price standpoint. But by and large, we start looking at food service, that's a very bright spot year to date. We've had some very good gains as we think about food service in some of the casual, some of the fast food and high-end dining categories. Looking at cuts, look at the carcass and see who's pulling its weight, so to say, here year to date. We always like to go back and talk about 2006 through 10 because that takes you through the recession. And you can see during that time, the red in particular, the loin, lost value. Highest priced middle meat items, the rib wasn't far behind. All the value gained was in the trim and the ends. In 2011, the same trend, although the middles, the steak items, started to pick up some momentum. Look what's happened this year. Your loin and your rib and trim or hamburger have really held their own. Ends, basically just a couple points up year to date. Think about where we export. Where does that product come from? Typically from the ends. Exports down year to date. Logically, that makes sense. Also, you think about your higher priced loin and rib items. Combination of, we would suggest, better food service business, as well as better and more exposure at retail from your major retailer that's got choice product on the shelf. That combination has helped middles, helped the cutout go and stay at record high levels, and started to widen the choice select spread compared to the last couple years, which we would suggest will continue to stay wider moving forward. than it has been if we compared it to 2009, 10, or 11. This is just some backup data looking at food service expansion, restaurant performance index, just to show that we have started to come back after the recession of 09. It's been an upward track. We are seeing consumers go out and spend more, especially in some of those categories. A caution there, the last couple months, it has dipped back down a little bit. Still year over year, same store sales are positive, but not as robust as it was in the fourth or the first quarter. So there seems to be a little bit of concern out there on the consumer's part in the months of May and June. With that, we'll just close up and talk about price in a broad spectrum. You can see where we're at, and you can see kind of what we're thinking as we look at 2013. And really the point we want to leave you with from a price standpoint is prices, because of tighter supplies moving forward over the next couple of years, are extremely friendly for not only beef, but also other proteins, live cattle. Think about your harvest cow values, utility cow values over the next couple of years. What are they going to do? Trim's going to stay high. And if we're going to harvest less cows, are they going to be worth more? This year we're going to average $80 plus on a utility cow, U.S. average. What's it going to be next year? It could be close to $90. It very well could. So that's going to be positive. You get into the feeder cattle and calf component, then you've got to take corn into consideration. And if we're right in assuming that we're putting the short-term high in corn over the next 30 to 45 days, and we do find a trading range over the next year of 6.5 to 7.5, that's an area where we've been used to the last 12 months. It's an area where we've been able to push the market. If we think about where we pushed calf values this spring, on a weekly average, we got to 188 for a high. Yearlings close to 160 at our high this spring. And so it still leaves us room with some relief on corn as we go forward as the stocks to use ratio is known and usage starts to drop from the other components. It does give us room for calf and yearling values moving into 2013 to stay as strong on average as this year, if not stronger.